Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C., author of three New York Times bestsellers, any of which would make a fine holiday gift. For someone you love. Most recently, One Giant Leap, which is about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. But also The Walmart Effect, of course, is a big one. The Big Thirst, that's the other New York Times bestseller by Charles. He is a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing and a retired Mississippi tugboat deckhand. Follow him on Twitter at C. Fishman. Charles, how are you?
Well, I want to say I'm checking the supply chain right this minute, and literally on the webpage of One Giant Leap, the words appear, arrives before Christmas for the hardcover.
That's great.
And for the softcover, arrives before Christmas. The book about the race to the moon, which has this incredible resonance.
What is happening over there? There's this ding, ding, ding over there. Can you turn off your dinger?
There's a lot of traffic, man. I'm
all those people are now, they're all buying, they're buying the book. All those people, is a ding. It's a New York Times bestseller. People have bought the book.
I have news. I have breaking news for Memphis radio listeners. They may tire of this. But the great Memphis radio star, Maya Wilson, who also is my daughter, is coming to Memphis in January for 5 days.
Why?
So she could do radio. Well,
Why is she coming to Memphis?
I don't know the details, but she has a friend. This is the modern world. Her name is Maya, M-A-Y-A, and she has a friend named Mia, M-I-A, and she's invited me. I can come too.
Good. Well,
in January, and do radio. I want to say on this topic, you were talking about this. You do more radio in a month than I do in a year with you. But we're coming up on the 2-year anniversary in March, and I've never been bleeped by Jeffrey. I don't think I've ever said a curse word.
Oh, you've never said an F word
on the air.
Do you swear off the air?
Well, I was thinking about that. I was literally.
This all comes up because Stephen Adams swore last night on TV. So
right, so and I had to be bleeped, and sometimes a well placed swear word, I think, actually, you know, a politician, a boss, I think it can really underscore your level of upset. In my family, I hate to say it, I cannot remember
Your wife has a. It swears like a sailor, as they would say.
My wife swears like a sailor. I was going back one generation. I don't remember my mother or father ever. I can recall my father.
That's interesting.
Saying damn or something like that, really angry. Never the F word. Never the S word.
Isn't that interesting? I wonder right now if people, wherever they are, think about their parents, right? And how often they swear. I can't remember either my mother or father ever saying the F word or the S word. They would definitely say damn occasionally.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
No one would mistake Virginia Calkins for a pushover, for somebody who wasn't firm in her convictions and capable of getting done what needed to be
done.
She's
a very earthy, woman, but she never said the F word.
Never cursed.
And so are we...
In my family, we curse a lot more.
As a country, are we a coursing, is it a coarser country?
Absolutely.
Do we swear more?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not to any good purpose. In my family, I actually ranked them because I know how much you love ranking
people
on the radio.
My
wife is the number one cursor. I would say my daughter follows in her footsteps. My son can really throttle it, but he's number three. I think I curse less than all three of them. And then Cleo the dog and Ruby the dog. Cleo now yells at me when I don't. She's 10 years old, going on 11. And if I don't do, she was the younger dog. We lost a dog during the pandemic. She's assumed sort of the mantle of being the older dog. And I do sometimes sense that she actually is cursing it. So I would put her in the number five position. But there's a lot of cursing in this house, and it is interesting that our parents did not curse.
So here we go. Ready? I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this. I'm Googling this. Do Americans
curse more than they used to?
Well, here's a story that says the average American utters 80 to 90 curse words every day. Here's why.
That's a lot.
Here's why
let's be clear. 80 to 90, assuming you're awake 16 hours a day, that you sleep 8 hours a day, that is a curse word every 7 minutes. I'm going to be on the air here with you for 25 minutes, and I will not utter a curse word during that entire time.
I have not seen a good study on this. But there is definitely there are stories about the uptick in swearing. And I anecdotally, yeah, I do see it. Now, maybe other people's parents were swearing a blue streak too. Okay. We won't, when we get our MLG and W bill and open it up, we will not have to say the F word. Is that your point with this on to the next topic? When we pull up to a gas pump, we will not have to say the S word. Is that true?
We try to have some level of accountability, at least in this segment of the show. And we talked about natural gas prices soaring and the possibility of really brutal heating bills, which are hard. You can pick something else to eat for dinner if you don't like the price of ground beef or fish or chicken. You can scale down. You know, you can throw on a sweater, but if you need to keep your home, you need to keep your home warm. But in fact, natural gas prices have fallen 40% since their October peak, when all of this panic was happening. They've fallen for two big reasons. We are having one of the warmest early winters in many, many years. Meteorologists do the seasons slightly different than astronomers, than the rest of us. We sort of, quote unquote, say winter starts on December 20th. That's kind of, the winter cold doesn't start on December 20th. Meteorologists call winter December 1 to March 1 in weather terms. And we've had record-breaking warmth across the country in the last week and a half, predicted to last another week. So already people are using a lot less natural gas and also heating oil because last night it was 68 degrees in Washington, D.C. It was cooler in our house because the house had been...
Is a week and a half of good weather really enough to bring the price of gas and oil and whatever down?
People are furiously stockpiling it, but in fact, the warm weather, trickles back into November, and they're predicting another week or two of warm weather. That's as far out as they can predict, and yes, it is. And the supply is way up. The normal winter storage was down almost 10% from what was typical. and they were worried that the winter was going to be cold. Now the winter storage is almost where it usually is. It's 1 or 2% below, and producers have brought, you know, it's down 40%, but it's still up about, to be honest, 20% from what it would normally be. It's $3.60 per unit of measure, $3.60, and we've become used to $3 instead of $3.60. But the price is expected to come down a little more, and the longer the warm weather lasts, the better for our heating bills. Now, mind you, that's bad for other things, right? I heard a story about restaurants in Colorado having a tough early winter season. There's no snow anywhere in the Rockies. That's bad for water. It's bad for for storage of water in the spring. It's good for heating bills, but we really have become a kind of a seasonal country, and our economy is seasonal, and people depend on the weather changing. But heating bills, winter heating bills that were three times what they had been, that wouldn't be good for anybody.
Hang on one second.
The price of natural gas yesterday, on Monday alone, the worldwide price of natural gas dropped 11%. So
okay.
that's the bottom spot.
We have not blessedly talked much about the new variant.
Hang on one second. Let's talk about gas prices are different than natural gas prices.
Yeah.
So oil prices fell for a completely different reason. This is your segue. This is your setup. I'm so good at radio. The oil prices are down 20% from their peak because of Omicron, because people who deal in oil are worried that we're going to drive less and travel less because of the variant, and that the demand will be less. And so they've already started pushing oil prices down. Today, AAA reports the average price of gas is $3.34. Yesterday, $3.35. A week ago, $3.39. A month ago, $3.42. So that's a pretty clear trend, I'm sure.
Well, what it suggests, by the way, is when gas prices were going up, there were people who were extraordinarily alarmed that gas prices were going up. Oh, this is a disaster, price of gas, inflation, right? And it's because when we were emerging, I'm broadly speaking here, when we were emerging out of the pandemic, the economy's ratcheting up, people are out more, moving more, gas is going to become more expensive. So basically, that was finding in a fundamentally rosy picture of recovery and robust economic growth, it was finding the gray lining in a largely silver cloud, right, to focus on the gas prices. Now, because of Omicron, there's some thought that it might dampen things, and so now we're celebrating the lower price of gasoline, but it just shows how these things are related.
Excuse me, that is exactly right. And frankly, gas prices are, right now, they are about what they were in 1972, cheaper than they were in the 1940s and 50s in inflation-adjusted terms. But when the price of gas is $3.80 in some places, the price of gas varies across the nation because of taxes, because every state, that's why you can cross from Maryland into Virginia on the beltway around Washington, and the price of gas plummets because the Virginia gas taxes are less than the Maryland gas taxes. But when people are paying $3.89, who drive for a living, truck drivers, Uber Eats, all that stuff, delivery people, you know, you followed the bread guy around. That company buys diesel fuel, right? FedEx, UPS. That's really painful for the economy. And so when the price of people build in the low price, it was $2.16 a year ago. $2.16 wasn't a meaningful price. It was ridiculous. It was $2.16 because no one was driving anywhere. There was a point a year ago, or actually 18 months ago, which people may have forgotten or never paid attention to, oil prices turned negative. There was a brief period of one afternoon where oil producers were paying people to take oil off their hands because there was no storage and they were desperate to find somebody who would take the oil. There's an oil price of $3.34 is not a painful oil price, but it's a reminder, you know, the conservatives on social media scream about this must be the fault of Joe Biden. He's responsible for high gas prices. Well, if he's responsible for high gas prices, he's responsible for the stock market, too, and the GDP and all of that. You know, presidents have a certain amount of control over the economy. Gas prices is something they have almost no control over at all. Gas is set worldwide. There's a worldwide price. It actually appears on the screen on CNBC just about every 12 seconds. You can see the worldwide price for oil. And natural gas is the same thing. It's not like a lot of other things. So the leader of one country doesn't have a lot of power. I'm sure those same social media conservatives are on there today praising Joe Biden for everything he's done in the last 2 weeks to bring gas prices down. That would be as ridiculous as criticizing him for them going up. But you're right. In this case, it's not always the case that gas prices go up because the economy is doing well. But a side effect of the economy doing well is that gas prices go up. Mind you, one last point, gas prices and natural gas prices coming down from their peak is really important because everything you buy, if you buy a head of lettuce, if you buy a book, if you buy, you know, beautiful pants from the Gap for a Christmas present for your kid,
okay,
there's a lot of fuel built into the price of that. And so having those prices come down, it's in the background, that is going to help calm inflation across the whole economy.
All right, I want to get to another topic, but real quick, am I saying it right? Omicron, is that right? I don't want to talk about the damn virus, but I do want to talk about how I say the virus. Is it Omicron?
What a great, we've all been struggling. According to the Greek, The actual Greeks who live in Greece, the country of Greece, who use the Greek language every day. This is the 15th letter of their alphabet. Their alphabet was established in 403 BC. It was codified 400 years before the birth of Christ. So it's been around, whatever, 2,400 years. They say the proper pronunciation is Omicron, with the first syllable pronounced like the word A-W-E, Omicron. Not O, Omicron. I happen to be married to a woman uh-huh. of many, many, many talents, one of which is that she speaks Greek, because from the age of 2 to the age of 4, she lived with her family in Greece, and that's a great time to learn a language. And okay.
Should I call it Omicron?
Omicron. But it's been fun. The Wall Street Journal wrote this wonderful story with one of the best headlines I've read in the last month. Here's the headline on the Wall Street Journal story. However you pronounce Omicron, you're probably saying it wrong. And the story opens with the head of Wallet Hub, the online personal finance site, whose name is Odysseus Papadimitriou. He said he was listening to the TV and he heard an anchor pronounce it Omicron. Omicron. And he said I couldn't even tell what that person was saying. On CNBC yesterday morning, they were joking, pronouncing it Omicron. Omicron, which is actually, if you look at it, it could be pronounced Omicron. President Biden has fallen into the trap that I myself have fallen into of pronouncing it Omicron. Adding
sticking an N in there for no good reason. Right.
A Yale professor said that's nonsense. That's a nonsense word.
All right.
Anyway, the current Greek classic scholars agree on two things. Probably the best way to pronounce it is Omicron, as if the O were
A-W-E.
Omicron. And we have absolutely no idea how the actual Greeks from 400 BC would have pronounced it. So
okay.
the good news is, however difficult it is to pronounce, the early data, we're 2 weeks in now, makes it look like it is pretty contagious, but it doesn't make people particularly sick. I don't think we've had a single death worldwide from Omicron yet, Omicron for that matter.
Moving on, you have studied workplaces your entire life, written about workplaces and the work people do. We have a certain management issue here going on with Penny Hardaway and the Memphis basketball team. They're sniping each other. They're unhappy. Penny's blaming the workers. And unhappiness abounds. Is there anything you've learned about management or from managers that you have written about that might be helpful in this situation or instructive?
Well, I think the first thing to say, which it's easy to lose track of, is these jobs are hard enough to do if you're Penny Hardaway and you're managing the Memphis Tigers basketball team. If you're the people at the University of Memphis managing Penny Hardaway, right? He's somebody's employee. If you're running a design team for a medical, you know, device company, making a new CAT scanner, if you're running a software team, I am witness every minute of every day to my wife's management of her high-powered team, high-powered in its own way as Penny Hardaway's people, right? Everybody on my wife's team has won at least one Pulitzer Prize. A couple of them have won more. It's hard enough to do that work every day. And then having people like the Commercial Appeal, The Athletic, The Daily Memphian, Jeff Gawkins looking over your shoulder and writing every other day about the quality of your management. Most of us as bosses would not survive that kind of scrutiny. If not only if my wife were right, were managing her group of Washington Post reporters, but if every day Politico was writing about whether she was doing a good job or not, that doesn't make it easy. Okay, so let's acknowledge that doing this in public, which is something, of course, sports coaches do from the moment they start coaching. It's part of the job to do your work in public and be critiqued in public. Nonetheless, that doesn't make it easier to manage people. I would say that for me, Penny has violated sort of two basic premises of good management, just that are just fundamental. And one is you do not take problems like this public and talk. He was sensitive to criticism of him personally, but that's exactly what he's doing to 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 year olds, talking about them and their behavior and their attitude publicly. It is almost never helpful to solving those management problems to air it out over lunch with the business desk or, you know, the people making the MRI scanner who you like much more than your own team making the CAT scanner or the rival software team at your company. That rarely helps you. And then, you know, just very, very basic. You guys have said this 20 times in your columns on the air. Gary made the point the other day on the air. People really need to know what they're supposed to do at work. And these guys have jobs. The basketball players aren't quote-unquote workers the way software engineers are or my wife's reporters are. But they do have jobs. And even if they don't like what their role is at that moment, if they know what it is, that creates a whole framework of expectations and also it keeps the waters calm. You yourself, I think, wrote the best line about this. They aren't sniping at each other. The sniping isn't the cause of the problems. The problems are the cause of the sniping. And some of the sniping is just basic insecurity. What role am I supposed to play? How do we, if coach can't tell you how to see your way out of the mess, that just makes the mess worse, doesn't it? Because then you really, if you're a 19-year-old, you're like, well, who is going to fix it? If he can't fix it, who is going
to
fix it?
Have you written about a great boss? Does anyone spring to mind as a great boss that you've written about over your years?
Well, of course I have. But now that you ask me that question right off the top of my head, I don't have a good example. I worked for a great boss when I... You know, you yourself, I don't think, have ever been a boss. You haven't been a boss since the sports department of the Harvard Independent, really.
Right.
I was a manager both at the Orlando newspaper and then at the Raleigh newspaper. And I worked for a great woman there. And, you know, a great boss is calm, has good judgment. That is, you can rely on their decisions, whether you agree with them or disagree with them. They're well thought out. and they aim you in the right direction. And a good boss is clear about the expectations. And, you know, the kind of things Penny is saying, you know, the players, you know, are whining when adversity hits. You know, you don't want people pulling in opposite directions. Those are conversations to have with people one-on-one. A good boss talks to his or her staff about their attitude, not just whether they're getting the work done. Because attitude can either amplify success or it can undermine.
I think the point you make that Penny complained about personal criticism to The Athletic, when he, in fact, is in the most personal way criticizing his players.
Thing.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.